Welcome back here in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is a Friday, and this has been a good week for us guest-wise. I've gotten to talk to Rick DiPietro, former Islanders goalie, who's one of my favorite guests. And now we get to go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and find ourselves Paul Lucas, the uniform expert and columnist at ESPN, another one of my favorite guests. Paul, how you doing? Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Brady. Always happy to be talking with you.
It has been a... Look, yesterday was a bad day for me. I have to tell you why. Because Arnie taught me something, and he taught me something about baseball, which I just do not allow to happen. He cannot be teaching me anything about baseball. Now, Arnie's 30 years older than me. He told me that there used to be carts that took people from the bullpen right up to the mound. I thought, no way is this true. And then I was directed to an article that you wrote in 2007 that says this is in fact true. What the heck was the bullpen cart?
Brady, you didn't know about the bullpen buggy? Now, come on, man.
No, I had never heard of this thing.
It was an essential part of baseball, really, from like the 60s, I'd say, definitely through the 70s. I mean, it was such a 70s thing. And then into the 80s, a lot of teams were still doing it, too. And so, yeah, when you'd have a break for a pitching change, the manager would go out to the mound and bring in a new pitcher. He'd make the call, and the pitcher would be brought in some sort of vehicle, and sometimes it was literally just a car, like a sedan or something like that, like from a dealership that had a sponsorship arrangement with the team. Sometimes it was a golf cart. In the 70s especially, they had these golf carts fitted with these sort of giant baseball-themed shells on top. And so it sort of looked like, if you know Mr. Met, the mascot with the giant baseball head, that's what was on these carts, like this giant baseball-shaped outer shell, had like little poles that supported the shell, and those poles were baseball bats, and they were headlights that were mounted in baseball gloves. It was like this really like sort of cheesy looking thing, and they had them for all the different teams, and they would bring the relief pitcher in, and people started wondering after a while, why can't these professional athletes who are making all this money and are supposed to be in good shape, they can't walk a few dozen yards or jog or whatever it was from the bullpen, and so eventually they faded out from view. But for a while there, you know, for a whole generation of fans, that was how a relief pitcher came into the game in one of these vehicles.
I guess I have to ask then, too, because I'm so curious about the origin, but I want to get back to the ending of it. In a world today where the athletes are making way more money than they made in the 70s, and in a world today where we're so concerned about pace of play, why don't we have this now?
Well, it wasn't necessarily faster. Not like, you know, these little golf carts were not exactly speeding. You know, a player or a relief pitcher could jog in at least as fast as these vehicles. And also, there's a lot of other issues. They faded from view. Number one, teams started getting worried about liability. Like, what if the cart runs over somebody's foot or something like that? Number two, groundskeepers started really asserting themselves a lot more and saying, we don't want any kind of vehicle driving across our outfield grass, you know, from the bullpen to bring the pitcher in. And so, the number of factors sort of mitigated against this. But really, the biggest thing is that pitchers are perfectly capable of coming in, jogging in, sprinting in on their own. And even during the heyday of the bullpen buggy, you had pitchers who didn't want to use it and refused to use it. And for example, Mike Marshall, who won the 1974 Cy Young Award with the Dodgers, I believe he was the first relief pitcher ever to win the Cy Young Award. He was a physical fitness nut. He was actually, I believe, had a PhD in physical fitness, and he was not going to let a vehicle bring him to the mound. He made a point of always sprinting in from the bullpen, and that was right during the heyday of the bullpen buggy era. So there were always a sort of holdouts, the pitchers who didn't want any part of it.
That article I referenced that you wrote in 2007, I don't remember, this might have been in the 80s, but didn't one set of fans start throwing things on the field at this buggy somewhere?
Yeah, that's the other thing. It became a target. Fans would sometimes be pelting it, you know, with the trash or hot dog wrappers or whatever. The poor guy driving the thing, he's, you know, it's just his job to drive the cart, and he'd get targeted as, you know, the sort of poor sap who had to take this abuse. Some teams did have more fun with it. The Mariners, the Seattle Mariners, since they, you know, their team name is the Mariners, and they have this sort of seafaring theme. And so they had a kind of boat-shaped bullpen buggy, and a few other teams tried to do things like that. in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is the home of Harley-Davidson, the motorcycle company. And so for a while there, I believe it was the Milwaukee Braves before they moved to Atlanta, they had a motorcycle, with a sidecar, bring the pitcher in. And so, that was a local tie-in with Harley-Davidson. And so teams did try to have a little more fun with it. And, at the time, it was all seen as trying to loosen up baseball, stuffy image, try new things. And you gotta remember, this was also when television and color television were coming, becoming more prominent. More games were being televised. We take it for granted now that every game is on TV. It didn't used to be that way. And so more and more games were being televised. More people were getting color TV. And so they wanted to make the game more appealing, for a televised audience as well. And so this was seen as something that would jazz up the game, for fans watching at home.
Paul Lucas, uniform columnist and expert at ESPN and ESPN.com. Seems weird that 30, 40 years ago we're talking about how to jazz up the game, and 30, 40 years later we're still talking about how to jazz up the game for the TV audience.
That's definitely true. I mean, some of the struggles or the challenges that baseball has in that regard are still with us. I don't think we're going to see the return of the bullpen Bucky, although I am a little surprised that with all the throwback games we see, so many teams do these throwback promotions where they wear the old uniforms, the nostalgic uniforms, and they do a lot of things. Some teams will, to match the era of the uniform, they'll roll back their hot dog prices or whatever it is. They'll change the graphics on the scoreboard to match the period. Why not just for one game, for a throwback game, why not bring back the bullpen Buggy? If you're wearing 1970s uniforms, which many teams do for their throwback promotions, why not bring back the bullpen Buggy? Because a lot of these teams do still have, in their museums or their team halls of fame or whatever, you can still see these vehicles there. They are showcased. They're, not all of them, but many of them are still around. And, the football had its own version of the bullpen Buggy. You had the helmet Buggy, which was often used to cart the player off if he was injured. Nowadays, they take that kind of thing more seriously. They'll have an ambulance out there, or they'll have the flat cart. They don't try to make it fun because there's nothing fun about a player being injured. But back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, they had these helmet carts, and you still see those around occasionally. The old ones will be on hand at the stadium on game day.
Unbelievable. I can't believe that as a diehard baseball fan, Cooperstown is literally my favorite place in the world. I had never heard of the bullpen Buggy, and I had to allow Arnie to teach me. It's a good thing the weekend's coming. I need a drink after that.
It's always good to know that there's still things you can learn, right?
That's right. Hey, Paul, I want to get to a couple uniform questions for you real quick here. So we are a Boston Bruins affiliate, and I know the NHL is going through a new uniform deal. I think they're moving to Adidas next year, if I'm not mistaken. The Bruins could be a team that gets a minor tweak to their uniform. You can't do an overhaul of a classic Original Six team, can you?
I don't envision the Bruins getting an overhaul. You are correct that the NHL is changing its uniform outfitter from Reebok to Adidas. The new uniform is going to be unveiled later this month, probably about 3 weeks. I know they want to have those new uniforms ready in time for the NHL draft, which I believe is 3 weeks from today, if I'm not mistaken, because they want those draftees, when they're posing for photos holding up a new jersey, they want it to be one of the new jerseys, not one of the old Reebok jerseys. Yeah, it's been reported that maybe up to a dozen teams may have uniform changes, but my understanding is that a lot of those changes are going to be extremely minor. In some cases, the quote-unquote change may be simply changing, redesignating an alternate jersey as a primary jersey without actually changing the design, just a change in status, if you will. And for a team like the Bruins, I would be stunned. More than stunned, if they did any kind of serious change. They've got the spoke B and the classic black and gold color palette. I don't see any of that changing. Could they tinker? Sure, the Bruins have tinkered over the years. If you look at their uniform history, there's been subtle changes, subtle evolutions about various aspects of the uniform. But a major change, I don't see that happening.
Paul, I'll get you out of here on this. I know the Detroit Lions are unveiling new uniforms. Well, they've already unveiled them. I know they have new uniforms for the upcoming NFL season. Any other changes in NFL land as we start to think about training camp in a month and a half?
Nothing major on the NFL front that I am aware of, except this. Most teams are going to be changing to a new tailoring template from Nike. And so if you're used to seeing, and not every team had this, but for the teams that had what Nike called its flywire collar, which is that sort of stretchy, shiny, those stretchy, shiny bands around the collar area. You're not going to see much of that this year because most teams are updating to a new template that doesn't include the flywire. And so if you're a flywire fan, Well, that's too bad. If, like me, you never liked the look of the fly wire to begin with, and this is good news. Our long national nightmare is over, if you will. No more fly wire, at least for most teams. And so that's one thing that's going to be changing this season. But in terms of an actual design change, yeah, the Lions have unveiled their new uniforms, which I think are not a big upgrade, but a subtle upgrade, a small step forward. Especially like they're going to be wearing blue pants on the road with their white jersey. I love that look. So instead of the silver pants, which they also wear the silver pants at home with their blue jersey, but on the road, the white jersey will now be paired with the blue pants. I don't believe there are any other teams with major changes this year. And of course, we will be treated, if you want to call it that, to another slate of Thursday night games with the Color Rush uniforms.
Well, I can't wait for that. Paul Lucas, the uniform columnist and expert at ESPN. We love talking to him. Look, I am headed down to a bachelor party this weekend. I will be at Citi Field. I will not see a Mr. Met based golf cart buggy. And just hopefully Mr. Met doesn't give me the finger.
Well, if he does, you know what to do. You give it right back to him.
Hey, Paul, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again.
All right, always a pleasure.